Well, I'll say one thing. It's good to be here tonight in the house of the Lord. I was really blessed by that singing. I guess I just wonder where the choir's been all week. I know you've been in the congregation, but people sing like that. You need to go up there and sing a little bit every night, I think. That was really good singing. I appreciate these young people. That song they were singing about make a Baptist shout. Amen. I think it will make a Presbyterian shout, that kind of song. To be honest, we got a little lady that visits with us down at Pine Grove on some of our special services, and she's from the Presbyterian Church. But she shouts, a shouting Presbyterian. Can you believe that? And so she's a blessing to us, and I appreciate the young lady that sung and the two ladies that sung, Do You Believe? You wrote that song, I understand, and a couple of other ones. Is that right? So let's just give her a big hand. Maybe you've already done that. But there's one thing that excites me among a lot of things is, and that's to see young people that love God. That is a special blessing from the Lord, just to see young people that love the Lord. And I see that in some of these young people here at this church. And y'all, Lord, just praise God for them and pray for them and love them and support them, because they'll make your church a better church. I'll guarantee you they will. And I'm glad to have my brother Bobby with me. I call him my older brother. He's the senior brother. Our oldest brother actually passed away a couple of years ago. And so Bobby is a senior member of our family now with mother and daddy gone. And I'm glad he's here with us tonight. Glad Janie is back. I think she didn't plan to come as much as she's coming. So y'all must have got her straightened out here, down here at this church. I think she's liking to come. And so we appreciate the opportunity y'all have given us, and it's a blessing to be with Brother Jeff. Open your Bible to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 4, and I want to begin reading at verse 1 and read through verse 5, and then read verse 17. If you will stand with us in honor of the reading of God's Word, we would appreciate you doing that. Exodus chapter 4. Begin with verse 1 and reading through verse 5, and then chapter 4, verse 17. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. It became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And then verse 17, And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Now would you go back while you're standing and look at verse number 2. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. You may be seated. Well, I want us to think about that thought, that question there in the scripture where the Lord said to Moses, What is that in thine hand? Now Moses was given a great assignment to go down to the land of Egypt and lead the Israelites out from under bondage. And Moses sort of wrestled with that assignment. You know, that was a big job, and Moses didn't really feel adequate and didn't really feel like maybe he was able to do a job like that job. And so the Lord tried to convince Moses that, yes, you are the one, and you're the one that's to go, and you're the one that I've chosen to do this job. And so here the Lord says to Moses, What is that in thine hand? And he said, Lord, it's a rod. And the Bible said he throwed it on the ground, and it turned into a serpent. And then the Lord said to him, Pick it up by the tail. And he picked it back up, and it turned back into a rod. And then there in verse number 17, the Lord said to him, And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And so what God is saying is, Moses, what you got in your hand, I just want you to use it and let me use it through you and through us working together. You'll see some great things happen if you'll just use what's in your hand. The Bible said in the book of Exodus chapter 9, verse number 23, the Bible said, and Moses stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. But notice it said, Moses used that rod in his hand, and God sent those things that verse mentioned. Verse number 13 of chapter number 10, and Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And then in Exodus 14:16, the Bible said, lift up thy rod, Moses, and stretch it out over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go over on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So God wanted Moses to use what was in his hand and leave it up to God to do the miracle part and the supernatural part. Just surrender what you've got to God and let him use it, and you can be a blessing to others as you use what's in your hand. I think about Elijah. One time the Lord spoke to him and told him to go over to Zarephath. He said, for there I've commanded a widow woman to feed you. Well, brother Elijah gets over there and he begins to see the woman out in the yard, and the Bible says she was gathering two sticks. Now, I've often wondered what those two sticks was. I don't really know. The Bible doesn't really say, but I'll tell you what there's going to need to represent in this widow woman's life. There's going to need to represent faith and works. Yes. Amen. Because, see, Moses, Elijah said to her, you go in the house and bake a cake for me. And she said to Elijah, there's not but just a little bit of meal in my barrel, and there's not but just a little cruse of oil in the cruse, and what I was going to do is bake a cake for me and my son, and we was going to eat it and die. Because we're going to starve to death because of what's going on in the land. And Elijah said to her, you first make a cake for me, and then you make a cake for you and your son. Well, she's already said she's just got enough for them too. And so if she's going to obey and respond to Elijah's direction, she's going to have to do what the man of God said, and she's got to use what she's got in her house and let God multiply and bless it if there's going to be a blessing involved in this miracle that God needed to do on her behalf. And so the Bible says she goes into the house, and she makes a cake for the man of God, Elijah, and she gives it to him. And then the Bible says she makes a cake for her and her son, and they eat it. And then on another day, they got hungry again, and she goes back to the same barrel of meal, and she makes another cake for her and her son. And for Elijah said, till this time of famine passes from the land, he said that barrel of meal and that cruse of oil will fail not. He said, you're going to be all right. God is going to take care of you. You have used what you got, and God's going to bless and multiply what you've used for him. Can you imagine? I was thinking coming up here, we grew up in a mill village, Bobby and our family did. And mother had one of these cabinets that had this thing over in the corner, and it had a place for you to put flour. Any of y'all remember that? Y'all probably know better how to describe it. And mother would go in there and open that little door, and she'd put her bowl under that, and she'd sort of roll out some flour. You know what I'm trying to say? Sift it out. And I thought about this lady here with this little barrel of meal. Maybe she said, maybe ain't nothing in there, but I'm going to turn it again today. And she turned it, and there was more meal in there. And she maybe said, this little cruise of oil is about out of oil. I think I've used it all up, but I'm going to turn it up one more time. And she turned it up, and there was more oil. But what I'm saying, she used what she had, and God honored and blessed her effort. And then another occasion, the man of God was over talking to the little widow woman whose husband was a prophet, and had died. And the Bible said she had two sons, and the creditors came to take away her sons from her. And so she began to talk to the man of God. And I guess maybe her question is, what am I going to do? If you ever got problems, ask the man of God. He may know something good to tell you. Now they think preachers ain't too smart, but you don't know what they know when they get a hold of what God knows and can share with you what God knows as they give it from Him to you. I don't know what happened about your friend, but you sure did make some good points with him that when you might have had late dinner over at Villa Rica with. I don't know if you've done that or not, but what I'm saying, you told him some good things. Now, whether it helped him or not, I don't know. I hope it did. But he had the right answer because he talked to the man of God and got some instruction from the man of God. Amen. I'll just get happy if you don't want to. Amen. So Elijah said to that woman, said, what you got in your house? Well, what have you got in your house? And she said, well, Elijah, I've got a little oil over here, and that's all I got. And he said to her, you go out in the neighborhood and you borrow vessels, not a few, from the neighbors, and you bring them in. Now I can imagine them sons going knocking on maybe neighbor Susie's door and say, Susie, mother needs some empty vessels. You got any? Susie goes in there and looks around in the kitchen. She said, well, I got three or four. Will that help out? They say, well, take them. Amen. And then maybe they go over to Mary Jane. Hope there ain't no Mary Jane in here, but it might have been you if you lived back in those days. And said, Mary Jane, you got any vessels? Mama needs some, and we want to use them. You got any? She said, well, let me go check. She checked. She said, I got two or three. Well, let us borrow them. And the Bible said they gathered up the vessels. And then the man of God said to her, you just shut the door, and you and your sons go in there. And that one little bit of oil and that vessel you got, you just start pouring it out and see what happens. And so she would say to one of her sons, hand me an empty vessel. And she would take that little bit of oil and pour that vessel, and it was completely full. And she would set it down and say, hand me another vessel. And she shook that oil and she poured it out at another. She did that to all the vessels that they had gathered together, all of them. And still had a little oil left. Ain't that good? She still had a little oil left. And the man of God said, you go and sell that oil and you go pay them creditors. And this is Clint Green sort of telling you something. And tell them they're not getting your sons. Amen. Amen. Because she was willing to use what she had there at her house. And she was willing to trust God to multiply and bless what she had. I think of a beautiful story in the Gospel of John where a little boy one day was going to hear Jesus. And maybe his mother said, you know, sometimes you have a little bit long service, people get sort of worried out nowadays. They held too long today. Well, if God's in it, it wasn't too long. Now, if there's somebody killing time, it was too long. Amen. If it's just somebody God wasn't on, they're just in a talking mood, you ought to say, let's go home and eat chicken. Amen. But Jesus, when he would gather them together, often he would talk a long time. Can you imagine him giving the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 of the book of Matthew? Can you imagine that? And so maybe the little boy's mother might have said, son, if you're going to go hear Jesus, you better carry your little lunch, because you're probably going to get hungry while you're down there. And so the mother fixed that boy 5 loaves, wasn't it, and 2 little fishes. And said, now, son, if you get hungry, you just open up your little lunch box and just eat what mama sent you. Well, they get down there, and Jesus has been talking and teaching and preaching, and all of a sudden he recognizes that the people are getting hungry. I don't know if I've preached it yet or if I've just thought about it, but Jesus don't want you to ever go home hungry. Did you know that? I want to tell you tonight, I want you to, can you hear me back there? When you come to church, Jesus don't want you to go home hungry. Amen. Amen. Because he has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. And he's calling to his children, come and dine. I'm telling you, if you want to eat at God's table, when you come to God's house, he don't want you to go away hungry. He wants you to eat till you're full spiritually. Amen. See, too many folks living on post toasters and sweet milk, and God will give them steak and gravy if they want it. Amen. So this little boy's got this little lunch, and he goes down there, and Jesus realized that the crowd's getting hungry, and he didn't want to send them away hungry. That's a good thought. You might preach that one day, Brother Jeff. God don't want to send you away hungry. Amen. He don't want to send you away hungry. I just say again, the Lord don't want to send you away hungry. He wants you to be full when you walk away. He wants you to have something inside of you. So the disciples and Jesus begin to talk, and they said, where are we going to get enough bread to feed these people? There's 5,000 men besides women and children. I don't know what the average size family was in that day. I don't really know what it is now. Probably 2 or 3 kids and a mother and a daddy or something like that. But just say it was 2 kids and a wife. That'd be 3 times 5 is 5,000. And you add 5, that's about 20,000. 15,000, 20,000 people there that's hungry. And Jesus got 2 little loaves. This is the boy got 2 loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they said, how are we going to feed them? They act like they don't know, the disciples. They sort of, I don't know, Lord. One of them finally said, why, even 200 penny worth of bread ain't enough to feed this crowd. Now, I don't know how much that was, but it wasn't enough, whatever it was. I don't know exactly how much 200 penny worth would have been in dollar value today, but whatever it was, it wasn't enough. I remember one time we had a homecoming to our church, and the year before we had a lot of good food, but we didn't have much bread. Now, when I eat, I want a little bit of bread. I don't need a lot of bread, but I want a little bread. And so I started talking to our folks about, be sure to bring some bread to the homecoming. You talking about bread at Pine Grove. My choir director told me, said the bread truck's parked outside. He was just kidding, but what they did, they took me seriously, and a lot of broad bread. But here they ain't got much bread, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and the disciples don't think they got enough money to buy enough bread. And all of a sudden, one of the disciples runs up on this little boy, and he notices something he's got. He says, son, what you got there? He said, mister, I got me a lunch with me. He said, what's in there? He said, mister, there's 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes. That's all I got, so I'm going to eat it after a while. So when I get real hungry, mama told me to eat it. So I'm going to eat it in a little bit. I'm going to eat these fish. I'm going to eat this bread. I brought it so I can eat my lunch after a while. That disciple might have said something like this. Well, son, what do you think about us letting Jesus have your lunch? Now, I don't know if that little boy really got the concept of what he is being asked. He might have said, whoop, glory. He might have. Because, see, when Jesus takes over what you got, woo, it ain't going to go down. It's going to increase. Amen. It's not going to get smaller. It's going to get bigger. So if that little boy really understood who Jesus was and what he did with things, I guess he might have hollered, "What glory! I'm glad to give it to him." So the Bible said they carry this little boy and it's not over where Jesus is. And they tell Jesus, we ain't got much, Lord. We got this little boy's lunch, two fishes and five pieces of bread, five loaves of bread. That's all we got. Jesus said, well, just tell them all to sit down. Just tell them to sit down. And the Bible said he took those five loaves and those two fishes and he blessed them. And then he began to break them and he filled 12 baskets full from them five loaves and two fishes and told those disciples to go and feed the multitude. Feed that crowd of people. And the Bible said everybody ate till they was. Nobody had to remember to practice their diet that day. Nobody was instructed to count calories. They just said, eat enough to get full. And the Bible said after they had eaten and got full, the Bible said the disciples gathered again 12 baskets of fragments. They had as much left when it was over as they did when it started. They started with 12 baskets full. They fed that 15 or 20,000 people, however many it was. They didn't want to waste anything. They gathered up the fragments, and the Bible said they gathered 12 baskets of fragments. Jesus just used what that little boy got and just blessed it and multiplied it, and many people were blessed because of that little boy's willingness for the Lord to use what was in his hand. Now, I wonder tonight when we think about our own lives, what do we have in our hand? Maybe we look at our hand physically and say, Brother Clinton, if it's anything at all you got in your hand, it's air. I don't see anything. It must be air. No, I've got something in my hand. It's a call from God to preach. Amen. It's a call from God to live for Him. It's a call from God to love folks. It's a call from God to pray for folks. It's a call to testify. I've got something in my hand, and if I will use it, the Lord will bless people through my efforts, because God blesses our lives when we commit them over into His hand. Amen. So what have you got that you can use for the Lord? Maybe somebody here say, Brother Clinton, I can sing a little bit. Well, sing. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Don't try to sing like her or him or them. Just sing like you. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Somebody said, Brother Clinton, I can talk a little bit. Well, just talk for the Lord. Yeah. Amen. You know, the telephone and these little iPads and iPhones, all that stuff y'all know, I don't know nothing about. I'm telling you, they could be wonderfully used to place in God's hands to talk to folks about Jesus. And to tell them, children, about the revival going on over at Welcome Grove. And to tell them what a good preacher y'all got here at this church. And to tell them what good singers y'all got. What good laymen y'all got. I'm telling you, you can talk through that internet and through the phone and through those iPads, and you can put something into people's heart and life that may make a difference in them in eternity. In eternity, it may make a difference in them. Now, I wish I knew a lot of this highfalutin kind of communication. And I believe I could learn it. I don't think I'm really dumb. I don't think I'm really smart, but somehow I just can't get to want to. I don't know why, but if I ever get to want to, you might see me running around with these. Yeah, but it took away talking to each other, you know. You know, people call me up on the phone. If I know them, it ain't long. I know who I'm talking to. They don't have to tell me. I know that's Brother Bobby's voice. I know that's my brother Jimmy's voice. I know that's my son John's voice. I know that's my talking on the phone. I hear them, and I sort of connect with them. I wonder sometimes, and I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm just saying what the Lord told me to tell. But I wonder sometimes if we're not losing closeness because we're communicating different ways. But what is it you in your hand that you can use for the glory of God? You know, sometimes I remember about a man preaching in a service, and at the end of the service, this person come to the altar and got saved, and the preacher asked that person, said, "What did I say tonight?" You know, sometimes us preachers have to watch that attaboy stuff, you know. And so that preacher said, "What did I say tonight that caused you to come and get right with the Lord?" That person said, "Preacher, I don't mean to disappoint you anyway. I don't really want to make you feel bad, but it wasn't nothing you said." But he said, that person said, "You see Granny back there in the back of the church? Said, when she got up testified tonight, that got me. That's what got my attention. That's what made me want to get saved when Granny got up and told how good God was, how God loved her and saved her. Watched over all these years, I believe that song y'all was singing about God taking care of you. And what I believe God can do that. I believe God can bless and take care of us." So what is it in your hand tonight? If you're saved, what's in your hand? What is it you got that you can do to bring honor and glory to God? We used to have a man at Eastgate Baptist Church, and he lived not far from the church, and he would just go and patrol the parking lot of Eastgate Church. I mean, his calling, he couldn't sing. He wasn't no public speaker. He didn't have no call to preach, but he cared about God's house. And he'd just walk around. If he saw something strange on the ground, some kind of activity that was going on that shouldn't be going on, he'd call them deacons up. He said, "Deacons, y'all got to get over here. Something going on at the church." But see, he was using what he could do. He used what he had in his hand, and it brought honor and glory to God. There's a church over in the, I guess it's Cedartown, Bobby Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, past Door Road, and they just recently have built a new church. They plan to dedicate it on July the 19th. But there was a time in that church's history where it got down to one person attending that church, a little lady by the name of Mrs. Wiggins. She'd go out on Sunday morning, open the door, try to clean the church up and everything, hoping somebody would come. And for a long time, nobody would come to that church. But she kept going. And then finally some folks started coming. And now they got a pretty strong church. I don't know, Bobby, 80, 100 in Sunday school, maybe something like that. I mean, a strong church, a brand new building. They're fixing to go in. It's all because one little woman, she kept using what was in her hand. The ability to open the door. The ability to hope somebody would come. The ability to pray that somebody would show up. And now she's dead and in heaven. But thank God, Pleasant Hill Church is alive and well. She done what she could. Use what she had. Maybe you're tonight and you're backslid on God. You know, you got something precious in your hand tonight. And that is an opportunity to come and rededicate your life to the Lord. I mean, just say, "Lord, I just want you to forgive me. And I just want to pick up my cross. And I want to help this Welcome Grove Church grow. And I just want to help folks be blessed. I just want to live a life in favor with you so you can bless me." God wants you to come tonight and just renew your vows and rededicate your life and just say, "Jesus, take me and use me and bring glory and honor to your Son through my life." Just rededicate tonight. Somebody said, "Will the Lord forgive me?" You don't know how much He wants to. You don't know how much God wants to forgive you tonight. You say, "Brother Cunningham, I've been pretty mean." You remember the brother that sung the song last night, "Even when I'm bad, He loves me." He hadn't quit loving you. You quit loving Him. Can I tell you just a story I've got to get through because I need to be done as soon as I need to be? That's telling the truth, ain't it? Just when I need to be. But a man and his wife, they were going down the road one day riding in his truck, and the man was under the steering wheel, and his wife was over here against the door, about to fall out the door, and she started talking to her husband. And this is what she was saying. She said, "Husband," said, "used to, you know, we was really close to each other. said, I would just sit really close to you. And, you know, there's some young people, you don't know who's driving. They're so close. Go ahead and smile about that. I mean, sometimes is it him or her? I mean, and that's what they used to be. And then gradually she had got a little bit more over to the middle of the seat and then a little bit more close to the end of the seat. And now she's over here about to fall out the door. But she was talking about how they had grown apart over the years. So her husband let her talk a little while. And then this is what he said. He said, honey, it ain't me that moved. He's still over here under the wheel. He's still over here where the gas and the brakes are. He's still where he used to be. But gradually, she had moved away from him. And that's what's wrong with all of you folks. God's right where he was. He don't leave us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Honey, he's always there. Thank God he'll never walk away. And so if there's any distance between you and God, you have moved over. And what you need to do is say, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming back over. You know, the Bible said, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. And I'll tell you something shocking tonight. Listen, you know you're just as close to God as you want to be. Somebody said, I want to get closer. Well, just come on. Amen. He said, if you draw nigh to me, he said, I will draw nigh to you. So maybe there's a backside here tonight. You've got in your hand an opportunity to come, rededicate your life, and go out this door and say, I want to live for Jesus. And that's the greatest life you'll never live, is living for Jesus. Don't never let the devil tell you anything different. But maybe there's a sinner here while the choir director comes, the musicians come. Maybe there's somebody here never been saved. Did you know you've got something in your hand that is of great value? Can you hear me? Can you hear me in the back? If you've never been saved, you've got something in your hand that is of great value. And that is an opportunity tonight to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus and let him save you and write your name in the book of life and have heaven for your future home and Christ with you as you live in this present world. If you're here tonight not saved, you have an opportunity that a lot of folks wish they did have. Did you know everybody in hell wish they had just where you are tonight, an opportunity to get saved? Did you realize that? That there's people that give all they had of this world's goods when they was living. If they could just come back to Welcome Grove Church and walk down an aisle and give their life to Jesus. But when they had that in their hand, they let it slip away from them and continue to be lost and away from God. So if you're a sinner, the Lord wants you to use what you got in your hand. He wants you to be saved. If you're a backslider, the Lord wants you to use what you got in your hand, and that is rededicate your life. If you're saved, God wants you to use what you got in your hand and live for him and make a difference in this world and be the light and the salt that God wants us to be as we live in this world. So while we stand together and sing, what number we're singing, brother? 3? You just mind.